Apart from the great sorrow, this brother had acquired some money. He had a business, and the business was now, sold, and there was some money that was divided among the brothers. And Eric decided that he would use that money and, compose. Mm-hmm. And he did the four sonatas, and they were made possible by this money.
I see.
Because up to then he had always done, apart from the City College in the evening, he had done all this handwork,
Mm-hmm.
And he did not accept this and then concentrate on composing.
I see.
This was possible.
Mm-hmm.
And when he had finished the piano sonata, he dedicated it to his brother.
I see. Well, in this sonata, he begins to develop a certain approach that he then refines in the ensuing sonatas. He always begins with a large and solemn first movement.
The piano, the Sonata Barocca, is especially, I think, rich in counterpoint. And as a matter of fact, Eric meant to dedicate it to Jacob Gimpo.
Oh.
But Jacob Gimpo didn't like it, and he said he didn't like it was too much, too counterpointal.
Oh.
And I remember that Eric was very upset about this, and at this time we visited Stravinsky, and he said, "Mr. Stravinsky, what do you like counterpoint?" And Stravinsky said, "I like only counterpoint."
Oh.
And that kind of reassured him.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, that was the piano scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And typically, the slow movement is in a religious vein. Was he attempting to transfer here the techniques he was developing in his Jewish vocal music, perhaps? Or was this just...
I don't know. I think just that all the events of the time, mm-hmm. and the great tragedy that had occurred in the Jewish consciousness,
I see.
And all this brought this out. But perhaps also the fact that he could not immediately identify this America. He had lost Vienna, mm-hmm. Austria, and here was something that he was able to identify with.
I see.
And I think he needed that like a soil from which you grow,
Mm-hmm.
And I think he needed to express this
mm-hmm.
thing that had happened.
And this is the movement that you liken to a dialogue with God?
The second, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And it is as if God would always answer the negative.
Well. Then somewhere in each one of these sonatas, you're bound to find a large movement in some Baroque form. In this particular work, it's a prelude and fugue. And here again, we see Eric grappling with this counterpoint and with the large forms that have been such a struggle.
There's also this, in the last movement, this great apotheosis, which always appears in his tragic pieces.
Mm-hmm. Now this entire sonata, you mentioned that the famous pianist didn't like it. It's incredibly difficult to play. And I just wonder, as I look at some other pieces of Eric, we know he was a marvelous pianist. Do you think sometimes that demands such as those we find in the Sonata Barocca were to cost impossible performances?
I'm sure, but I'm like that sure that he never thought of this when
mm-hmm.
he was composing,
Mm-hmm.
He was composing the things that were dictated something to him.
I see.
And he did not really think of the performer.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, when he later wrote a cello concerto for Piatigorsky, who had commissioned that,
mm-hmm.
Piatigorsky said, "You are very selfish. You think only of yourself and you do not think of the performer."